Hello, family, and welcome to Kingwood Methodist. In John 4:23, Jesus states that a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. As we gather at church and open God's Word, we are not just coming together for the sake of gathering, but also to learn the truth of God and how we can grow to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. As we continually surrender our lives to the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become the type of worshipers our Heavenly Father seeks. Let's dive in together.
All right, good morning. I'm Stacy Sweet. I'm one of the pastors here at Kingwood Methodist Church. First, before we get started, I need to release the kindergarten through second graders to the back with Miss Kristen to go to Children's Church. They will return in time to receive communion with us as well. So, all right. You know what? It's the Sunday after Easter. You know what that means? It is officially when most churches in America are now introducing a new sermon series. So, here we go. Here it is. We are going to be talking about the resurrection. Perfect sermon series for after Easter. But in that, we're going to be talking about what the resurrection means this Sunday. The next few Sundays following that, we're going to be looking at all the appearances of Jesus and to the different people that he appeared to and the impact that that had on them and their ministries. And so, but first, I want us to dig into what the resurrection means. Not only what the resurrection was to Jesus, but what the resurrection is to us as well. I wanted to point out, too, that when we talk about this, first of all, Jesus appears. When you notice in Scripture, it never says the disciples saw or Mary saw. It always says Jesus appeared. And I think that's a really important distinction. If the disciples saw or whoever saw Jesus, that's kind of a passive thing that they could have manifested. They could have made up. They could have interpreted something that way. But if Jesus appeared, that's fact. That's how it was. And that's what Jesus did. He appeared to those that he came and saw before he ascended into heaven. And that word, rising, that we're going to be using for our theme over the next few weeks, it means a standing up or a raising up or rising. And the Greek word for that is anastasis. And we're going to talk about what the implications are of Jesus appearing to these people. Those original eyewitnesses shape our view of the world, and we're going to be talking about that in this series, because the resurrection is important. We are an Easter people, right? We never say we're a Maundy Thursday people or a Good Friday people, right? We're not a Good Friday people, we're an Easter people. And I'm not diminishing what happened on the cross. That was obviously extremely important. It's where Christ paid the price for our sins, where our debt was ransomed by him through his death on the cross. But the resurrection is why we're an Easter people, because that is when Christ overcame sin and death completely. So our belief and understanding of the resurrection shapes how we live out our faith on a daily basis. We were saved by Jesus' actions on the cross, and we live from a perspective of a risen and resurrected Savior. So if you'll stand with me this morning, we're going to be in Corinthians chapter 15 for the reading of God's Word, verses 12 through 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be a false witness about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all a people most to be pitied. The word of God for you and me, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So in this book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 is all about the resurrection. And it is long. There are 58 verses in that chapter 15. Now, Paul didn't sit down and title this chapter 15. That came much later. But he obviously devoted a great deal of his writing to the Corinthians to help them understand the resurrection, to help them understand this. And he's working out what the resurrection means and what it means to us as well. For Paul, following Jesus means living from a reality not just of the cross, but of that empty tomb. Because without it, he mentions in Scripture that we're to be pitied. If our hope in Christ ends in death, then what is the purpose? What is our future if our future is just a grave? Then why are we doing this? And Paul explains that because Christ is raised from the dead, all those who are in Christ will also be raised from the dead. It's not just a spiritual metaphor. Paul's explaining what the future looks like, what God intended and what God's will is. He's explaining through this passage. All these appearances to Jesus' followers, after his resurrection, Jesus demonstrates that he has overcome death. No one saw the resurrection. They only saw the result of it. But the result, Jesus, raised from the dead, resurrected, changes everything. His appearances demonstrate that he has overcome death. When Jesus first appeared, let's think about who he first appeared to. He appeared to a bunch of defeated, depressed disciples. They had abandoned hope after the crucifixion. Those same men and women are now transformed. Those deserters became martyrs because Jesus appeared to them. Those deniers became confessors and proclaimers of God's word because Jesus appeared to them. It was the resurrected Jesus that helped them to understand what Jesus' kingdom was really all about. It was the bodily resurrection of Jesus communicating that this was the beginning of the end of death. Sin and death were defeated. Because let's face it, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he didn't succeed in doing what we need him most to do, which is to conquer sin and death. We needed a Savior to take away our sin. And if Jesus is still dead, then we are still dead in our sin as well. Our hope for now and all of eternity is found in the resurrection. So we're going to dig a little bit more into Jesus' resurrection, and then we're going to look at what that means for us as well. So I'm going to start us off with a question. Was it the same Jesus before and after the resurrection? Yes and no. How's that for a clear answer? There was a continuity between the two of them. Was that the same Jesus? Yes. But he's different now. He won't ever die again. The physical part of him that died on the cross will never die again. Now, this new Jesus that we're experiencing relates to time and space differently than the fully human Jesus. And this is all possible because Jesus is fully God and Jesus is fully human. Death came through Adam, and the resurrection is possible through Christ. Sin entered through a fully human Adam and then was conquered by a Christ who was fully God, Christ was able to take on that sin and be that sacrifice for us because he was fully human. But here is the beautiful, beautiful part of it. Because we serve an amazing, loving Creator God, Christ shares with us what he achieved in the resurrection. He doesn't go, "Oh, great, I've conquered sin and death. I'm going to keep this for myself." No. He says, "I have conquered sin and death, and I have this gift for all of you as well." We serve a God who cares about the renewal and the redemption of all of creation. In verses 12 through 13, Paul is arguing that we will be resurrected as well, though, just as Jesus was. That's a part of him sharing that with us, because we are united in Christ and his death. We're united in that past, and we're united with him in the resurrection in the future. It's through that covenantal union with Christ who has conquered sin and death. And now we as believers are to live as though sin and death have been conquered. We are called to live now as if we were dead to sin. As we're going through chapter 15 today, we're going to go through and work through it because it does a great job. Paul, of course, does a fantastic job of laying out an explanation and diving deeper and deeper into what he starts out with in verses 12 through 19. And so we're going to continue on in verse 37. Paul says, "When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else." So we're going to use this example of an acorn. I'm going to ask another question. It's a trick question again, by the way. Is an acorn the same as an oak tree? Yes and no. The acorn starts as this acorn, and the oak is formed out of that acorn. They have the same DNA. But as the oak is formed, as it grows, as the roots go down, the branches go up, the leaves are formed, the acorn no longer exists in the same form. The old is gone. The acorn is gone. And it's been transformed into something different, but the same, and transformed into something new. And this applies to Jesus. And if we start to look at the resurrection from this perspective, because he was fully human, he died on the cross and he absorbed and took our sin. He paid that ransom. It's possible because he was fully flesh and blood, fully human and fully God. And so we see in verses 42 through 44, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body." This is the resurrection of the dead. This is all of humanity. The body that is sown is perishable, but it will be raised imperishable. It was sown a natural body. Jesus had a natural body when he was fully human. We have a natural body now, but it is raised a spiritual body. Paul describes our current body as that seed that will die to make way for a better body to exist in all of eternity. Our natural bodies, like Adam's, are made from the stuff of the earth, but they will one day be transformed into bodies like the one that Christ was raised with. Death will be swallowed up in victory, never to hurt anyone again. I think it's interesting that we start Easter with Ash Wednesday, where we are taking inventory and account and examining and acknowledging that from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. from ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We acknowledge that our bodies are perishable. But we end Lent, we end the season of Easter with a celebration of Christ's victory over sin and death and his resurrection into a whole new physicality, into a whole new spiritual being. And it's through that resurrection that we have a glimpse of what is to come when we too are raised in a spiritual body. In verses 51 through 54, Paul goes on to say this, and there's two really important parts of this that I want to catch your attention at the beginning. Anytime you start out a scripture and you see therefore or listen or something like that that catches your attention, it's important. There's something that's going to come after that that is really important. So this is what Paul says. Listen, I tell you a mystery. This is going to be good. Paul's about to explain this mystery to us. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Paul's explaining that mystery to us. It's a whole new way of thinking about our present and our future. We will all be changed. I think about the song, Graves to Garden. This is what we acknowledge when we're worshiping and we're singing that song, that God himself turns mourning into dancing, gives beauty for ashes, shame into glory, graves into gardens, bones into armies, and seas into highways. The perishable is transformed into the imperishable. The acorn is gone and is transformed into that oak tree. That acorn was good. We are also in our current physicality created in the image of God. We are still Christ's image bearers. But all of us will be fully redeemed. Death will be swallowed up in victory. As I said, we're made in that image of God, and that image of God applies to our mind, our spirit, and our physical being. But in our current form, is perishable. That perishable will be clothed by the imperishable. Fire consumes what is perishable, and we are consumed and refined by God's fiery justice and love and grace and mercy, just as that acorn shell rots away and the oak continues to grow. The cross is where God's love and justice meet. God is confronting what is evil, and Jesus absorbs it and takes it into himself because he became flesh and blood. He became what we are, so that we can become what he is in the future. Paul describes our current body as the seed that will die and make way for that newer body to exist in eternity, one that will never die. Our natural bodies, like Adam's, are made from the stuff of this earth, but we will be transformed into bodies like the one Christ was raised with, and made of the stuff of heaven. Think about that. Death will be swallowed up in victory, never to hurt anyone again. Verse 49 in chapter 15 goes on to say this, and just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. You will be conformed to the image of Christ in spirit and in flesh. The trumpet will be raised and the dead will be raised. The mortal will clothe itself with immortality. Where, O death, is your sting? Because we proclaim our victory in Jesus Christ. Our Christian hope is resurrection. It's a hope that was made possible through the Christ and that we're all going to be changed because we are an Easter people. Christ's history is our destiny. And we know what God has in store. So that allows us to live and make decisions in this reality from a totally different perspective. If I'm an acorn, I know that someday I'm going to be an oak tree. And my view of the world, my view of my relationships with other people and my community around me, the way that I see my relationship with God, when it all starts to be filtered through that, there's an eternality to that. There's something of significance and importance to that. The acorn is still important. The oak wouldn't exist without the acorn stage. What we do now matters. Verse 58, Paul gives us this insight. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul has just written this tremendous response and explanation of the resurrection, and this is how he sums it up and ends it. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. He said earlier when we started out in verses 12 through 19 that we would be pitied if we didn't believe in the resurrection. Not only Christ's resurrection, but our own resurrection, because then what is all this for? And he's letting us know that our labor is not in vain because the resurrection is true and God's redemption and love of all of creation is true as well. What we do now matters. The beauty of it is because of the cross, we can experience new life now. It's through that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to live fully and give fully of ourselves, to give all of ourselves. It's through that sanctification, through God's grace, that more of ourselves is removed and more of Christ fills us. When we are filled and we are full of Christ, we are able to live fully as Christ intended. When I've been thinking about this throughout the week, there's times when I start to read this, and it's brought tears to my eyes because it's so much bigger than I can fully and completely understand, because it amplifies and exemplifies God's infinite love for us. That there is less of us and more of God filling our hearts and minds. And through that, we are able to give of ourselves fully, to let go of the perishables. Paul uses that perishables and imperishables a lot. I can lean very minimalist, and it is in my nature to get rid of things. But that's not, Christ isn't talking about, Jesus isn't talking about, Paul's not talking about getting rid of physical things, perishable items in our lives. He's talking about getting rid of the things that are not of God, because those things are perishable. The things in our hearts and minds that are not of God, sin and death will be vanquished completely when Jesus returns and all of creation is restored. So that there is less of us and more of God filling our hearts and minds. And we are able to respond to the love that Christ demonstrated on the cross and the hope of the resurrection. So we have love demonstrated and hope provided. What we do now matters. We are not to be pitied because there was an empty tomb last Sunday. Jesus didn't just rise and return and appear just so that we could know that he was okay. Jesus rose, Jesus returned, Jesus appeared so that God's mission could continue. We can see through Scripture from the beginning to the end, this is what God is telling us about. So what do we need to do? What do we need to let die in us? What is perishable in your life that needs to be consumed so that you may be filled more fully with God? As we go into a time of prayer now, I'd like us to have this as a time of prayer and confession, and then we'll begin communion after that. But I want us to take some time to prepare our hearts, to confess, but also to just relish in the knowledge of how much God loves us. His love is so tremendous that he overcame sin and death for us so that we may experience that as well through the love of his Son. Let's think about the things that we need to leave at the cross. Because like I said, we're not a Good Friday people. We're a resurrection people. Sin and death, Jesus paid the price on the cross, and we are always thankful for that. But that allows us to leave those things, those sins, at the cross as well. So let's go to God for a time of prayer.